Now to our first feature. Richard Matthew has another subject to talk about this month, the Great Blow.
I wonder how many people know that on April 24th, 1648, there occurred in Norwich the largest explosion in England in the whole of the 17th century, known as the Great Blow. It was caused by the accidental detonation of 98 barrels of gunpowder in a house called the Committee House, which was in the middle of Norwich on the corner of Chapel Field, the site where later on the Bethel Asylum was built. But why was so much gunpowder stored in one house, twice the amount that Guy Fawkes had stored beneath the House of Commons? How was it detonated? And why were 108 people put on trial and 8 hanged? And how did the English Civil War indirectly cause the explosion? It was caused by a mob of rioters, or mutineers as they were called afterwards, who broke into the Committee House and the armoury upstairs. The origins of the riot lay in conflicts in the city between supporters of King Charles I, the Royalists, and supporters of Parliament, the Roundheads or Puritans. During the Civil War, there had been little or no actual fighting in East Anglia, but there were numerous religious and political disputes between supporters of the two sides in the city. In 1646, there were riots in the city led by the butchers against an excise tax on foodstuffs imposed by Parliament, which they refused to pay. There was also opposition to the Puritan-dominated corporations' attacks on guild days and festivals, including a ban on the celebration of Christmas Day. Floods and an outbreak of plague in 1646 added to the discontent in the city. And then in February 1648, Mayor John Utting, a royalist sympathiser, allowed people to celebrate the King's Coronation Day. And as a result, one of the sheriffs and an alderman complained to Parliament about him, and Parliament sent a messenger to take him to London. On April 24th, up to 1,000 supporters of Mayor Utting gathered near the market to try to prevent him being taken to London. They looted the house of one of the aldermen, a leading parliamentarian, distributed weapons among the crowd, and then attacked another house, which was the site of the excise office. At around 2 o'clock, they converged on the Committee House, which was a symbol of Parliament's power over the city, where, in addition to the gunpowder, there was an arsenal of some 3,000 weapons. In the tumult that followed, it seemed that a boy was shot by the armourer. By 4 o'clock, about 80 troopers arrived from Dereham to restore order, and a firefight ensued. It was then that the gunpowder was ignited, probably by a candle or a spark from a flintlock weapon, and timbers, tiles, plaster, and human remains scattered the area for miles around, the blast being heard throughout the county. The city was quiet by 8 o'clock, and the troopers began making arrests. The total cost of the damage was estimated at £20,000, being several million pounds in today's money. The explosion killed about 80 people, destroyed some 40 houses, and the stained glass in St. Peter Mancroft and St. Stephen's churches was blown out. 108 people were tried in the Guildhall. 8 were convicted of murder and hanged in the castle ditches. 2 were branded, and 26 were fined the huge sum of £30. An interesting aspect of this affair is that after the explosion, an investigation was carried out by local magistrates, and we have the texts of 278 witness statements as they were written down by a clerk. In the statements, we can almost hear people speaking, with vivid details of what they saw and did on the fateful day in 1648, including statements by some of those who were later hanged. One of these was Christopher Hill, who is one of the very few to mention the gunpowder and the actual explosion. And it reads, "Seeing a great company of people going to the Committee House, he followed them to see what they should do there. When he came there, he went up into a chamber where a great company of people were. And in the chamber was many arms and a great deal of gunpowder. And he saith that he did say to the people that they must be careful of the powder, or else they would do a great deal of harm. as he was coming from Chapelfield homeward, as the house was blown up, with the force of the powder, he was blown against the gatehouse, fell down, and was bruised upon his shoulder. Although there is no suggestion that the explosion was deliberate, it's clear that the city authorities took the whole affair very seriously, and that they were nervous after the butchers' riots against the excise 2 years earlier. There had also been rumours and fears of popish or royalist plots, and people were often reported and prosecuted for simply uttering treasonous words against Parliament. It's possible, too, that there were still lingering memories of Kett's rebellion of 100 years earlier, when some 4,000 men had died in the city before the rebellion was suppressed. Was this a major riot, which but for the explosion could have turned into a royalist rebellion against the parliamentary authorities? Or was it just a riot by a discontented mob who were a bit drunk and angry about the extra taxes and the suppression of some of their festivals and of Christmas? What might have happened if the gunpowder hadn't exploded? We will probably never know.